You've had enough brown M&Ms.
Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot and days of long ago?
Welcome to Look Radio.
Welcome.
I can taste blood.
I'm Abe Bradshaw. You're John O'Bacon.
I'm John O'Bacon.
Was that the intro?
That was the intro.
He's Matthew Revelle.
Pay attention.
And I'm Stuart Langridge.
I won't be on the next show because my voice will have gone. The way that I achieve that amazing effect is by punching my throat rapidly.
I had a similar.
Matt, I can help you out with that.
Well, you can help follow it out.
Punch your throat repeatedly.
I thought you were going to apply some lotion to his throat.
What are we going to talk about on this year-ending show?
I'm just going to talk about...
Thanks. That's what we're going to talk about, is it?
Right. Anyway, moving swiftly on. It is the end of the year.
So, of course,
technically, it's the beginning of the next year.
We've got predictions.
We have got predictions. We're going to look at last year's predictions
and laugh about them
and laugh at how wrong we were. And we're going to look at next year's predictions and pretend we're going to be right.
We are going to be right. Ludicrous predictions,
guys. We've got to be quick this show though because my Skype out credit runs out today.
Okay,
that's a reason to hurry up, isn't it? We're also going to be talking about Compass versus Beryl.
Yes. We are. And the relative merits of either or both.
And what the hell they are.
And let's talk about some emails as well.
Yes.
Let's talk about
talk
them.
Talk about them.
Yes, yes.
Let's just read them out.
So, welcome to 2007, those of you who are listening.
Woo! Yes. And
those of you who are listening, yes, welcome.
And let's
those of you that aren't, you.
Well, that's exactly the point. Those of you who aren't listening, fuck the lot of you, basically.
Shall we get the show on the road?
No. Let's get trucking.
If you don't listen to Lug Radio, you are not my friend.
Okay. Right, it's not a Spanish novelist, Beryl v. Compass.
For the third time, that joke is funny.
Get any funnier.
V being in the middle, I get it now. Right, okay.
It's
still not funny.
Beryl Vera Compass. It's a debate that we're going to have now. Or actually, well, this is what I want to know, right? So that A doesn't have to fake surprise. What is the difference between Beryl and Compass? I thought Beryl was just
I've got to admit, it was a source of confusion for me until very recently.
May I add? It wasn't about 2 minutes ago.
Yes.
There is a core difference between Beryl and Compass, and I'm going to look at Aid.
And tell him.
And tell him again.
Good.
No, actually, I'll look at Matt.
Okay.
No, fuck it, I'm going to look back at Aid. Anyway.
Far more attractive.
Yeah, frankly, yes.
There's a dog bed in the way of my head.
Dave Raven from Nivelle developed Compass, right? And there we see the sign of the cross again. And he's been fairly...
You said the N-word.
Sorry.
Shall
I call it...
Yes.
So Dave Raven from created Compass and has been relatively conservative about what patches he's letting in there because he wants it to be stable and...
Yeah, absolutely. Like Metacity. Yes. You know, he doesn't do anything, Metacity, and that's a deliberate policy. Compass is a very similar kind of approach.
Now, you get people like all of these bling nutters.
You're saying Compass is like the sort of low end of what's possible.
Well, it's the conservative end.
Yeah.
So a lot of these people... who were hacking on Compass, wanted some more kind of crazy stuff to go in there.
And me.
And they decided, in their wisdom, to fork it and create Beryl.
Oh, that's always good, isn't it?
It's a good idea. Let's fork something and call it after a 45-year-old fucking lesbian who lives in Litchfield.
I think their point was, I don't think they were forking Compass in order to deliberately create a competitor to it. It was more that, they want to be able to say, let's have a playground for all the bling. I suspect if they come up with anything good, they'd then go back to the Compass people and say, everyone's found this very useful.
I don't know.
What don't you think about
bling? I don't think
they see themselves as a competitor as such, more as
someone
where you can just go, bling,
honest.
Uber bling, bring me the bling.
I might be wrong here, but I think they are genuinely out there to compete with Compass.
Really?
I think they just want more... more ability to do crazy stuff. Like, there was a demo of Beryl and Compiz at the UDS, right? And there was this Beryl thing.
Beryl versus Compiz, against each other.
No, right. Just kind of the two of them being shown.
Okay.
And they had this thing, like, for example, when you close a window down, this line of flames goes down the window in Beryl. Yeah. And it was frankly fucking ugly, and it was pointless as well. Yeah. And it's a kind
Hopefully you can turn that sort of stuff off.
And the impression I get...
Yeah, you install Compiz instead.
To be honest, I've not used Beryl. Right. I've seen, like, some of the stuff that's been going on with it.
I've seen videos
but
of it.
I get the impression
the really cool one was where, like, your messenger, you know how it minimises to, like, a little bar at the top?
Yeah.
But when somebody messages you, it sends a ripple across your desktop.
Yeah, that's the focus thing.
Awesome.
To be honest with you, I would say Beryl is like the web was... Early on, you know how we...
Before you get into your analogy,
no,
I was making a point.
Oh, right, sorry.
The thing I was going to say...
Well, power for me, I should be quiet.
But your analogy's good, I don't want us to lose focus on this.
Speak
right?
on, about focus.
With a wobble through. Actually, when he gets focused, the wobble goes through. You just have to slap his leg and wait for the ripples to stop.
When you've quite finished. Happy New Year, by the way, listen.
The thing is...
John, do you often find yourself slapping Axe's leg?
Not with my hand.
The
impression I get is that all of the crazy stuff in Beryl that you can't get in Compiz is so outlandish and in many ways pointless that you wouldn't want it switched on in your desktop unless you're one of these bling nutters.
Right.
A lot of the bling you wouldn't want on because it would get annoying, it would get frustrating, whereas it seems like most of the sort of reasonable stuff that you'd actually have switched on the desktop, Compiz does anyway. That's the impression I get.
Yeah, I mean, you know how...
But they're just keener on getting more bling in, whereas Compiz is keener on maybe stability.
Well, it sounds like your attitude is bling it on.
Absolutely bling it on, yeah.
Bling it
the
on.
Thing we've got to remember as well is that Metacity, like, everyone, like, people at, like, for example, Ubuntu are talking about moving over to this 3D desktop, and obviously SUSE
does it
already.
That's the thing, I mean, Beryl's not in Ubuntu, is it?
That's
why I haven't tried it.
It's packaged for Feisty, but it's not in Edge yet.
Right, okay, so it's not in Ubuntu.
It's not in Edge yet, nor will it ever be in Edge.
Well, it might be a backport.
That doesn't make it in Edge.
Anyway, let's available for it. Anyway, fucking clutching straws, right?
Or making a valid point.
Or making a valid point. It's not available yet. Oh, no,
in Edge.
I could run the development one where, you know, one day the kernel might fucking disappear.
I'm sure you can install Beryl on Edge.
You can.
I'm sure you can.
Oh, there's loads of articles on how to do it.
I'm sure you can install Beryl on damn small Linux as well. That doesn't make it part.
What about Tiny Sofa?
Look at my face. Look at my face. I'm buffered.
Buffered.
No.
I hate her.
She's fucking annoying. I mean, her show's quite good. Catherine Tate for
Focus
business.
Boys. Focus.
Focus. The thing I was going to say is, one thing that a lot of people are forgetting about this whole Beryl Compiz thing and moving distros over to using it is that, it's something Remnant said, is that... you're moving over to a new window manager, and a lot of the kind of the relatively boring stuff hasn't been implemented.
Absolutely.
Whereas it has happened in Metacity for ages.
Yeah.
And
when you say boring stuff, you don't mean like opening windows.
Things like hinting and focus handling and things like that and keyboard
handling. What happens if you drag a window half off the screen and then switch virtual desktops?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sort of thing, where there's been loads of bug fixes gone into Metacity because someone said, I had four windows open at once and then I switched to virtual desktop while one of them was half off the screen and it ate one of my windows.
So
the Metacity team went, oh, we'll fix that then because it's this obscure way of talking to X, and that hasn't happened in Compiz.
It hasn't happened in Compiz. Right.
So it definitely hasn't happened in Beryl.
Right.
Because the Beryl people are too busy going, oh, we should make the whole desktop fucking explode into little shards and then come back together again.
That would be cool.
Shut up.
Awesome.
You are the problem. You're not the solution, you're the problem.
But I totally black. But
Matthew P.
No, I was going to ask, why can't then we just make Metacity 3D?
Well, when Compiz originally came out, I thought it was Metacity with 3D widgets. 3D poking, so to make it. But it's not, it's developed from scratch.
Completely different, yeah.
I don't know why.
That explains quite a lot, actually.
I don't know why Dave Reeveman didn't take an existing window.
Because sometimes you just have to blow it all away and start again from scratch.
But
point I've made regularly.
Like they did with Chicosha.
You may find Well, we'd have happily taken an existing one if they weren't all crap.
Certainly my original plan was to help Ardor.
Yeah.
And then it was just...
Exactly.
A fate worse than a fate worse than a fate worse than death.
I mean, to be honest with you...
Too arduous.
I wouldn't mind hacking on Cubase. Oh, no, wait, can't do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, but Cubase is written in a real language, so you wouldn't be able to. Anyway.
Is it, though?
Do you even know what it's written in?
It's going to be written in C.
If it was written in frigging Delphi, you wouldn't know.
It's written in Scheme.
I would. I'd just look at the machine code.
No. It's written in Haskell, just like most of Linspire is now. Did you hear that?
What the fuck's Haskell?
Yeah, really?
What's Haskell?
It's a really shit version of procedural
language. It's not a really shit version of Pascal. It's a really shit version of Lisp.
I can't believe those languages are still around.
Yeah, functional languages. Haskell's dreadful. It's good for doing things like solving peg solitaire games. It's no good for writing a proper program.
Hey, less of the peg.
Peg solitaire?
Yep.
You can't talk about that, otherwise you're racist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No speech about pegs. Can we talk about Bell versus Compass?
While we're on a slight diversion, I've got a dog bed next to my head and it smells of piss.
Right. Well, thanks, anyway.
Again, Happy New Year to you, Matthew.
Anyway,
to get back to the point a bit, the thing I think is interesting about Beryl, this is my brilliant analogy, is that...
I've been waiting for this.
Beryl
is... It is a good analogy, very good.
Beryl...
Have you heard? Have you noticed and said it yet?
I'm a mind reader.
Ah, mind reader, very clever.
No, I'm not going to take my trousers off.
I was thinking about Matt doing that.
Matt and his micro-penis.
The idea is...
Penis. Sorry, carry on.
Gary Penis.
Gary Sinise on his penis.
Your analogy is important to us. Please hold.
Right. When the Netscape people first came out with Netscape 2, and they said, look, here are font tags and here are images and stuff like that, loads of people went mental with them. And so you had all these horrific websites with flashing skulls and big pink text and all that.
Does anybody remember cryogenics.org with the under construction?
Yes.
Doesn't look much better than you.
Wasn't cryogenics.org, but yeah.
I can see where you're going with this.
In the archive.
But isn't HTML all the better now for having a shitload
I'm not switching the bells a bad idea. It's basically a way of going, here's some tools, and at the moment all the people doing it
are
developers who don't have much of a clue about design necessarily. Presumably there are some people out there who do have a clue.
Blink and the marquee tag and everything, going
just completely mental. It's like, you know, the cars you get where they've got 15 bloody exhausts and big gold wheels and a huge great big whale tail spoiler
car
on the back.
Has 15 exhausts.
I'll find you pictures on the internet. Really?
Oh, must exist
all,
then.
All the way along the bottom.
Well, I can find you pictures of Kins playing fucking guitars, but they don't exist.
They do.
What?
Honestly, cars with 15 exhausts, really.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, people who are using, some people are using Beryl at the moment, are like that. They're just turning everything on, like you say, going mad. But what's likely to come out of it is precisely that some of the stuff people will say that's actually quite useful. A lot of it will fall by the wayside. This is why I thought the Beryl people weren't in competition. They were more, here's somewhere to play about with the technology, and then we can look at moving some of it back into Compass.
It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of stuff goes back. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I was really excited about Project Looking Glass when it first came out, because I thought, this is a playground to try out shit like this. And I'm pleased to see something like Beryl where it's happening at the window manager level, because Project Looking Glass is more the application level. So I hear it's 1.0 release recently.
There was
a demo of it at the UDS, and a guy from Sun came down to demo it, and it looks no different to when it first came out. Oh, look, it's that pointless spinning
write
CD
things on the back of a window.
Check it out, we can write things on the back of a window.
I do like some of the things it does, but it, as you say, it hasn't really added anything else to it in like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's
a year
just
and a half. It's more like 4 years, isn't it?
Is it really?
No, it was 2 years ago. It was, well...
whatever, it's more than a year.
Actually, no, you're right. It was
I think it was 3 years
ago. It was
ago.
Like 2000... It was
sort of, yeah. Now this is 2007, this is going out.
I mean, look how fast Compass has developed and how fast Beryl's developing.
And Jocosha's developing. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that other 3D window manager.
The format's taking over the world, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Give him a chance.
So, shall we...
That's Beryl versus Compass. I mean, I think it's interesting that you've got these two different things, and maybe they're competing, maybe they're working
right,
hand
quick
in
straw
hand.
Poll, no. Then.
Aren't we just, hang on a second, aren't we just, like, focusing too much, though, on something that's really, that's just...
doesn't translate, by the way.
That is interesting to perhaps to guys like us, but in the real world, it's just something that people.
Bling is
right.
Really important. Then.
No, hold Apple up.
Let's not go into the
example.
Is Bling relevant.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. But the Merrill v. Compass. What I'm thinking is that you know, people are going to start expecting things like that if they make it, the experience more useful. Ordinary users it is. While we're still arguing over whether we should be using Beryl or Compass, you know, other people will eventually start shipping software that actually just does it. And
yeah, but we make the decisions that shape people's minds.
Yeah, but we're the that's the purpose of LaGrado, isn't it? It's to discuss the finite details of open source.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. Got it.
So Compass, an ordinary desktop or a Beryl desktop?
For me personally, I'm going to stick with. I think Compass is the way forward.
It's the way forward, or where it is at the minute.
I think that what's going to happen is the Bling experimentation will happen in Beryl, and ultimately
it will be pushed back to
Compass. But right, the Matt, two are going to diverge.
For now, I'm going to sit with Metacity.
You're sticking with Metacity, Ack?
For now,
Metacity, because there are no I can't run Beryl or Compass on my machine
because of the drivers.
Because there are no open source ATI drivers.
Unless you get an Intel card.
Unless I chuck away my laptop, get a new laptop.
Okay. Yeah.
These views don't represent the views.
I think I'm going to stay with Compass.
No, they do not.
Sorry, Aid.
I'll stay with Compass for a bit, but I'm very interested in Beryl.
Yeah, so we should get one of the Beryl
guys
on the
Litchfield,
show.
Litchfield, yeah?
Hey, Beryl, what, the lesbian from Litchfield? Yeah.
Last year we did some predictions.
Did we get them all right?
We glanced into Aid crystal ball.
Let me guess.
Actually, which year was it? Was it 2005 we did the predictions?
Well, yeah, that was last year.
So, no, but when people...
People know we're recording it in 2006.
Well, here's the thing.
Matt's keeping the mystery alive.
Approximately a year ago. We gazed into Aid's crystal bell and Garrett was in predictions. And you'll be amazed to hear our hit rate.
The bell was the same
as it was before.
But this is not our fault, this is the bald's head.
It is. Yeah.
If he's given incorrect predictions.
Yes, okay.
Aid's wrong again.
Well, maybe we'll have another go later.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list the predictions we made last year and we'll see how we got on.
Oh, imagine what it's going to be.
So, first prediction by Jono. Digium will become... Digium, for those of you who haven't heard of them, which is ironic considering this prediction, are the company make Asterisk. Digium will become more relevant and get bought or significantly invested in.
They got VC input.
Thank you.
They have become more relevant and I think they did get some investment.
Yeah, they didn't get bought, but that's the reason why I said, what do you invest in?
They've become loads more relevant, yeah.
Well, they have.
Oh, no, wait,
they have become more relevant.
How
and Asterisk has become more relevant.
How have they?
There are loads of shows now, IP telephony shows.
Yeah, and they've had VC investment. Thank you very much.
As in venture capital.
Let's tick that one off.
Okay.
Not vice chairman investment. Anyway, yeah. So, thank you. Right. Next one.
Matthew P. Revelle. Nothing particularly significant will happen in 2006. There'll be incremental progress only.
Such as Java wouldn't get open sourced.
Well, you know.
On the whole, though, he was right.
On the flip side, I think he was right.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, Java got open sourced.
Which is a big fucking deal.
It is.
Yeah, but we made that happen.
Novell signed a pact with the devil.
No, but the Novell thing hasn't actually had any impact.
It hasn't had any impact on it.
People are leaving already.
Yeah. But it hasn't had any impact.
Okay.
People are leaving what?
Novell.
Jeremy Allison.
Oh, yeah, people leave Novell, but they're leaving to go to other Linuxy places. There aren't many people leaving Novell to join Microsoft, are there?
Lilo.
So it hasn't had a major impact
Lilo
on the community.
Died.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a
yeah,
shame.
That had a big effect on the community.
Pikey.
Well, you know,
stop miming shit.
I'd never spoken to the bloke anyway. So, what do we think? Was that a good prediction?
Depends, doesn't it, really?
I think he was largely right.
It's 50-50.
I'd say that the open sourcing of Java pretty much invalidates that opinion. Just because, I mean, it's...
Well, the Novell thing was big as well, to be honest.
So, something major did happen in 2006.
Okay, right.
But So,
But nothing particularly significant, okay.
Does that mean I'm in the lead?
But when you said incremental progress only, I think broadly, you were right there.
Thanks.
Okay.
You know.
And, you know, all the 3D shit happened as well, which is fairly major progress.
That didn't happen this year.
Which of it is?
No, Compass was out this time last year.
Aid would make it to
yes, it was.
No, it was.
It 2007.
Yes, it was. Yes, you can deny it all you like, but you're wrong. Shut up, beard.
It was
crap.
Living in a fucking Subversion server, but the point is that...
It still existed.
Are you finished?
It existed
this time
last
year.
Saying
is blah, 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 blah.
Right. Next prediction is, I said Google will release an operating system and they utterly failed to do so.
Wrong!
Give Bantu.
That's a wrong one. So, moving on.
No, let's dwell on this for a second.
No, I can see
Ubuntu
that I was wrong.
Hasn't, nor will it ever see the light of day.
Lots of people thought that I was wrong at the time, and it turns out they were right.
Although they are making a play for taking away elements of what operating systems do.
Yes.
So, you know, you've got Google for domains, or for your domain, or whatever it's called.
And you've got the spreadsheet and all that stuff online.
I mean, there's some university in America, I think it's Arizona State University, is now using Gmail for your domain, for their student email.
Really?
Cool. They're going to be putting spreadsheets and Writely into it, so that students can then share coursework with each other.
Yeah, that's really cool. Listen, let's support their non-free software approach.
I'm just telling you what happened.
I'm not knocking you. I'm surprised at your reaction of, oh, cool.
Oh, right.
Jono points to ACK, by the way. Yeah.
it's an interesting shift. I've never really thought about the idea of Google making operating systems irrelevant. But yeah, maybe so.
Well, not irrelevant, just chipping away at what OSes are expected to do.
Yeah.
Because in our world of Linux...
It's also chipping away on a dependency.
Shut up, I'm talking. Finishes
the year as he went, as he started it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you've carried
on. I'll tell you what, Matt, you make your point, then Abe can...
I don't want to make a point now.
You didn't actually have a point to make, did you? You just wanted to interrupt and just to annoy him.
If you come from Windows, Mac OS, or OS 2, then you notice that in the Linux world, what's considered part of the operating system is slightly wider, as we've discussed previously.
Yes.
On Rogue Radio.
What were you going to say, Ado?
No, I can't even remember.
Good.
Right, next one then.
Ado.
I don't know what you're laughing about, Baldman.
It's a Spanish version of Ado.
This time next year, by which we mean now, there'll be a third desktop of equal significance to KDE and
Who said that?
Fluxbox.
Adrian Chin Bradshaw.
Adrian Utterly Wrong Bradshaw. Probably that was more of a wish than
I don't believe you could have been more wrong than that, to be honest.
I believe that only one prediction's been true, is that right?
None of them have been absolutely completely
thus far.
Right,
okay, next one. Me, some will open source Java. That would be a point for me.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
And that was, I think we all shooed you for that, and it happened. So
no, I don't believe it. In fact, I've written down here, some will open source Java, and then Jono mocks. You mocked enormously, and you wrong.
No, credit where credit's due. Aid, your bald was right.
It was right. Credit to Sun for doing it.
Did we know Patrick Finch at that stage?
I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that we had a hand in Sun Home Sauce and Java.
We did, absolutely.
I think we're solely responsible.
I think we are. Because we had Phipps on the show twice.
Yeah. Let's have the payout, Phipps.
Phipps made the clown. Hungry Phippo.
Good job, son.
Hungry Phippos. Yes, absolutely. Good job, son. I mean, I must confess, I did say that they'll either open source Java or they'll do a thing which tries to look like open sourcing Java,
right.
but not actually do it. And then they GPL'd it.
That's even better. Yeah, they didn't just open source Java. They fucking open source Java.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't do some kind of noddy cuddle thing where it's sort of open source, but not really.
No, they unencumbered it is what they did.
They did.
Do you know what? Whenever I hear the word cuddle, it makes me think of that grotty fucking...
Cuddles in Bearwood.
Yeah, the monkey. Orville's mate.
No, we're talking about the whorehouse in Bearwood.
The whorehouse in Bearwood.
Or Ladywood, or wherever it is.
Did you see it?
Whorehouse.
When
it got raided.
Oh, the one on the crossroads.
Yes.
It was called Cuddles.
Why do you all know about a whorehouse?
Because it's on the roof from Wolverhampton to Birmingham.
Whenever I drive
it's on the roof from Stourbridge.
And it's got a big sign that says whorehouse.
No, Cuddles.
It says Cuddles adult massage parlor and the front wall's all bricked up.
Just to paint the... Whenever I drive from Open Advantage to Axe, I always stop off at Cuddles.
for a quick hand shandy and 50 quid.
But it's just the grottiest looking place you can imagine.
I didn't know it was called Cuddles.
And that's been raided.
It got raided and they're like...
I remember it being raided.
And they,
well, I remember hearing about it
not
being
relevant,
raided.
By the way.
Sorry.
It's clearly...
The age, right, yes. Police has spoken.
Next one, Adrian Bradshaw. Two or more Massachusetts-type rollouts where large organisations get behind the open document format. This is the beginning of the snowball. Beard.
Snowball kit.
I'd say that's right.
Name the two.
Bristol.
Okay, that's one.
Oh, what about Birmingham? That was good.
Birmingham.
Yeah, Birmingham got behind open. Oh, no, wait, no, they didn't.
No,
yeah.
They're still going ahead with the open source rollout.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that hasn't happened yet. So you've named one.
The rollout's continuing. And
so you can't...
It hasn't got as much momentum yet, maybe, but it's the beginning of the snowball.
Sorry, is this separate to the other ODF thing?
Yes.
Okay, let's carry on. No, Aid's wrong.
No,
hey! No, Aid, no, I think Aid's bed. Pretty much all right with that.
Aid's right or wrong in all of them, because don't forget, it's his crystal ball.
I'm right or wrong on all of them.
Yeah, because it's...
obviously I'm right or wrong on all of them, aren't I?
It stems the wisdom, yeah.
Right. Jono said, open document format will become more relevant, it'll be implemented in more software and not just more places, and it becomes a relevant format, which as far as I can tell is, I like open document, so I'm going to claim it's relevant even when it isn't.
Now, is open document different to what open office uses?
Yes. That's open XML.
Yeah, so it's as relevant as my chin.
Open document has become more relevant.
Hang on, rephrase that question. Did you just say is open document not what open office uses?
Yeah.
Did you say open office? I thought you said office, sorry.
No, open office.
Oh, no, that's open office.
I'm utterly confused then. It is what it uses.
Open document format is the open office 2 format.
So hang on, what's the difference between the fellowship and the foundation?
This is a whole different thing. Open Document Fellowship is a collection of people who are interested in open document format.
They're exciting.
Well, I can assure.
Open XML.
It's a zip format with XML in it.
Well, you know.
So is that tag.
I'm part of the Open Document Fellowship.
Remember, Open XML is a Microsoft thing.
I don't give a shit about that. But ODF is XML.
Anyway, the fellowship are a bunch of interested people. The Open Document Foundation were people like Sun and IBM have worked together, who are actually involved in the creation of Open Document.
Right. They came, a fan club.
They came after the fellowship. And they didn't consult the fellowship, and they just appeared. So the fellowship have become a little bit irrelevant because of that.
Right.
But anyway, open document format has become more relevant. It is an ISO standard. It is in more software. It's in Corel software. It's in. It's in Microsoft.
Yeah, Corel.
It's useful. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a plugin for Microsoft Office.
No. Because Novell are forking Open Office, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Beard.
Is that it for the predictions?
It has become more relevant.
Yeah, there's a plugin for Office, but it's not going to be actually supported within Office when you download it or buy it.
It doesn't matter. It's become more relevant.
Yeah, how?
And the reason...
I think it's becoming more relevant.
I concede it's become more relevant, but it's gone from 0.00003% relevant to 0.00005% relevant.
You said it becomes a relevant format.
It's doubled its relevance.
Oh, well, excellent, yeah.
I'd say it has, I'd say that in 2006, it has become a relevant format. It's become more relevant.
I don't think it's become relevant.
That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm conceding it's more relevant than it was this time last year, and I'm sure it will continue to do so.
I'd say it's become, the fact that Microsoft have chosen to implement it, and the fact that Corel
haven't chosen to do it, have they?
Oh, so someone held a gun against their heads.
Yeah, antitrust stuff it could come up with.
The reason why they've done it has been made clear by them and
other people.
If they
chosen to do it, it would be in office by default.
No, the reason why they've chosen to do it is because they wouldn't be able to get big government contracts if it wasn't for that. That's the only reason why they've done it.
That's hardly choosing, is it, really?
Of course it is.
Anyway.
I mean, in a perfect world, they'd have their format, yes. But they've chosen to implement it so they can get big government contracts, because if they don't support it, governments aren't gonna use Microsoft software.
Do you think it's more or less relevant than WordPerfect format? Which has been supported in Microsoft Office for years and is still supported in Microsoft Office.
What about rich text format?
I don't know, to be honest. I'd say it's probably less relevant than WordPerfect format right now.
But if I said you were perfect, that's a relevant format, you'd say, no, it isn't. Shut up.
I would say it's a relevant format.
Isn't WordPerfect massively used in law firms?
Not anymore.
It is a relevant format.
There are a lot of places which, because law firms were all WordPerfect years and years ago, they made the shift later, but everybody uses Word now.
But what about those
people? We've got one guy at work who uses WordPerfect and refuses to use Microsoft Word. Flat out refuses. And he's like this little wart in the otherwise perfect Microsoft strategy. And you have to just kind of work around him. I think he's brilliant. All in favour of this guy going, no, fuck a bunch of Word, I'm not using it. It's excellent.
Let's go back to punch cards.
The only other two, but it's a relevant format.
I never said that it wasn't. It is a relevant format.
Punch cards are relevant.
Punch cards are fucking irrelevant.
The only other two predictions we had, Aid said we'd get more predictions right than last year, which I think we might have just edged.
Yes! My God.
And we all said Radio Live 2006 would happen.
That was the difficult
which
prediction.
Which it did, hooray!
That was the difficult Live prediction, considering it was booked already when we did the predictions last year.
Oh, but... Yeah.
No, it's 2000. Oh, we're going to make our predictions later, aren't we?
Yes, so. We are. But there you go. I think in our role as Cassandras, we didn't do all that brilliantly.
In our role as what?
Cassandras.
Cassandra,
that's,
you plump bird.
Thingy's bird in Apples and Horses, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cassandra.
That's right.
Yeah, Rodney's bird.
Sorry, excuse me for ever trying to make any kind of classical references.
Yeah.
Only Fools and Horses, that's what I was talking about.
So let's look at the evidence. So, basically, Ack, it was you and I that got the predictions right. Is
yes.
That right?
Nice. Is that the way you see it?
Or you and me, if you want to be grammatically correct.
This is the show of pedants, isn't it?
Pedant files.
Why did you look at Aid when you said that?
I didn't. I looked over there.
Okay. What, my near, podcast?
Near Aid.
And my little handbag that's hanging
up. Right. Your man bag.
So, around about this time of the year, we like to gaze into the crystal ball.
We do.
It's a glorious crystal ball.
And make some usually fairly inaccurate predictions. We're going to strive to be better this year.
They're all accurate at the time.
How can we strive to be better?
Quite easily.
Everyone strives for stuff.
It's
You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you say, I am a worthwhile person.
I'm a good looking guy.
And the mirror goes, no, you're not. Get a job.
So, who wants to go first? Mr. Langridge, you want to go first?
Hey, you want me to go first?
I was going to say Aid, but...
No, Ack needs to gaze, doesn't
yes,
he?
Yes, I do. I need to gaze into the crystal world.
Are you ready?
Forward.
Is it clearing?
I can see the picture. I can. I think this year we're going to see more proprietary software companies doing deals with individual Linux distributors to say, here's a piece of software, which is not open source, but it's freely redistributable, and you can get it in all the major Linux distributions, like Opera have done with Canonical, say.
Like the commercial repository type thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Okay. I think you're going to see them doing more deals. So when people say, but that's not fair, it's closed source, they can say, but you can get it in everything that's actually relevant.
So it's free rather than free.
Yeah, you can, yeah, small F free. Okay. So you'll be able to get it easily in.
Fuck off with the small F, big F thing.
I mean, that's a fairly easy prediction, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I mean, there will be
Linux next year.
there's been a couple of them, but I think it's really going to start taking off.
Oh, so you think it's going to go crazy?
I don't necessarily think it's going to go crazy, but I think a lot more people are going to see it as a viable.
So there's going to be some more.
There's going to be more ISV relationships.
Which is going to annoy the shit out of me, but I think that that's what's going to happen.
Get used to it, lad boy. Anyway, Matt.
yeah, you lot are all going to sell Linux out from under me, I know, and there's nothing I can do to stop it, but I'm going to do my best.
No, you can keep
Find next prediction.
You can use the herd.
You can use Linux from scratch.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. You should take the piss because I don't want to chuck everything we've worked for away for the last 10 years.
Moving on. Carry on.
Oh, sorry, yeah, because you have to pay your wages, don't you? And that's the most important thing about Linux.
No.
Matthew yes. B. Revell.
Just remind me why you don't work with Linux again. Ah, because you have to pay your wages. That's right,
yes,
isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. Yes,
you are. It's okay not to be principled elsewhere.
I do have to pay my wages.
Now, it's my turn.
Matthew.
Right, I'll let... Oh.
Ooh. That's okay. Quite nice. Can you do that again?
Ready to gaze?
Yep.
I got a V8 in my head.
Okay, I predict that we will see the issue of non-free soft drivers and other related items in Linux distributions becoming much more important, and the debate will really heat up in 2007.
Yes.
To the extent where things like GNUSense will just seem like a blip. And I think we'll see a polarization of Linux distro versus Linux distro. So you'll have the situation where FreeSpire won't be so much... a pariah, but will be more of the norm of what's happening, and then you'll have the group of people who are even more hardcore free software than they are now in terms of distributions.
Right?
Mm. Do you think
of a divide between the two viewpoints?
Do you think there will be a serious division in the community between the two
that's
sides?
What I just predicted.
You don't talk about it becoming more of a. Do you think that actually be a two separate sides? Almost?
None of this. More relevant. We want there's predictions.
Yes. But by this time next year, we'll have free Linux stuff and commercial Linux stuff, and they'll be quite a long way apart.
I didn't say free commercial. I said free.
You're right. I'm misusing the word commercial there, and I apologise. Free
encumbered and unencumbered. A bit different. And I think basically what will happen is the people who support free software ideals and the people who are more prepared to bend the other way are going to all. I don't think coagulate is the right word, but all flock around certain distributions. So you'll have clearly free software distributions and more clearly pragmatic distributions.
So you're saying, like, for example, take some, maybe Fedora as an example.
Yeah.
You might have people who use Fedora who are real hardline free software people and who turn some of the shit off. And then you might have people who are either more pragmatic or don't really care about the free software thing, you know, right over the other side. A pragmatics in the middle. You're saying that the divisions will be much clearer. Like right now, those two different groups of people might use Fedora. Are you saying that they're probably going to use different distros?
Yeah.
Right.
Basically,
okay.
You'll have distros that aren't, I mean, I think it'll start to develop. It won't be cemented by this time next year, but I do think you'll start to see things like there will be more GNU senses and there will be more FreeSpies, if you like, but they will come out of perhaps from existing distros.
I think people are going to, continuing on from that slightly, I think people are going to have to more be prepared to take a stand one side or the other.
Hmm.
Distros who are being a little bit proprietary at the moment will either say, right, we're not going to do this, we're going to be free, or they're going to say, well, we're a bit proprietary on stuff, let's be more proprietary. Become increasingly difficult to kind of straddle the divide, so you're just non-free enough that you can get some of the stuff, but people are going to say, well, I want to take a stand, I'm either going to be free, or I'm going to be not free.
I think,
and if we're going to do one non-free thing, we might as well do a few others as well. So there'll be that. That divide will be much more difficult for there to be a middle ground where it's a bit not free.
I agree partially with you, but I think part of the reason for that,
John, it points to me.
With
Matthew Revelle.
The reason why I think that in some ways is that the pragmatic voice is going to be better heard next year. One thing I've written about is the fact that you always hear from the holier-than-thou brigade, but you don't often hear from the moderate brigade. Right? And I think that the moderate viewpoint will have more, that they'll speak louder next year. But I don't know if there'll be such a division between distros. That's the only thing I disagree with.
I'd like to see, I've got no problem with the pragmatic voice being heard more, or the moderate voice being heard more, but it would be nice if it didn't have to turn into a war.
No.
The way you phrase it, the pragmatic voice is going to be heard more because we're going to sideline all those
zealots. But you just know that it's going
to happen. I'm not saying that at all.
You are.
I'm not.
You've just, every time you refer to anybody with free software ideas, you think that's more important than pragmatism, you refer to them as the holier-than-thou brigade.
No. No, I don't. There's a lot of people who hold the ethic of free software more than pragmatism.
Yes.
But I'm talking about the people who hold
normal people.
That as the only most important thing, right?
Do you believe...
There's a lot of people out there who believe we should have free software that's properly free, but also have a belief that we should have... there's a pragmatism applied to that, and that there are people...
I think we've talked about this before,
haven't we? Let's not turn this into a big segment about this, because...
Can I just justify why I think that you...
Matt, shut up. That's just what it felt like saying that, because you normally tell me to shut up.
Matt's going to clarify his own prediction, I think.
No, I just want to say why I think you'll see people of a certain view coming to use certain distributions, because I don't see how it can work any other way, because you've already seen, as I say, repeating myself yet again, GNU Senses come out of Ubuntu, because the free software, the people who believe very strongly in free software don't want to use Ubuntu, because it's moving into proprietary drivers, shipping with proprietary drivers, things like that. And so they feel they don't have a choice but to move away from Ubuntu, but they still want all the good things that come with Ubuntu.
I think distros will realign themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
As in, I think that people like Ubuntu and people like Fedora will accommodate those free software users better.
So you think people are going to try and straddle the gap between the two? Make one distribution that serves both.
Ubuntu free software edition. For example.
Or a Fedora free software edition.
I'd love
or
to see an Ubuntu free software edition, because I'd love GNU not to have to exist.
Yeah. Next prediction.
Next prediction.
My first...
Hang on a minute.
You need to look in at the ball.
Oh!
Aid leans forward.
I've got to look in. Ooh. It's coming clearer. It's coming clearer.
Ooh.
Oh, no, a little bit...
Have you had a vasectomy?
Oh, harsh. My prediction is that Adobe will release one of the Macromedia applications running on Linux next year.
Yeah, Flash, we know. They're developing it. They've blogged about it.
Do you mean other than
about
it?
I'm not on about their player. I'm on about the actual application.
Oh, fucking hell.
The creation application.
Beard.
So, hang on, one of the Macromedia applications.
One of the Macromedia. So
not necessarily one of the Adobe applications.
No, not one of the Elders. No, not necessarily Photoshop. I mean, maybe Photoshop.
What about one of the Elders?
But I'm thinking here, the applications I'm thinking here are either going to be Flash or Director. Actually, I'm going to factor Photoshop in there. One of those three. I suspect...
The Flash creation suite.
The actual thing to make
Flash
movies.
Right.
Will be, there's no market whatsoever.
It won't be
on Linux.
It won't be open sourced. It will be it's likely going to be the application running on a Wine layer. Like Corel did with CorelDRAW.
Or Google did with Picasa.
Yeah. It's gonna be, it's probably gonna be that. It's not gonna be a native port, but it will run on Linux. It will be an application that is running available for Linux.
And you'll be able to go to Adobe and say, I want to buy
yes.
Flash on Linux. And they'll go, here it is in a box.
Yes.
They won't say, here is Flash for Windows, and these are the instructions to make Wine work with
no.
it.
No. It will be they'll supported sell you anything application.
And you won't know. Right, okay.
Cool. Beard, by the way.
No, he's glad. We want to hear risky predictions. Don't want to hear yeah. none of this hand-wavy, I think this will become a bit more relevant shit, because then we argue about whether it happens.
I have hundreds of relevance predictions.
Yeah.
But I wanted to come out with some, I was really trying to think hard of what I believe, and I believe that next year they're going to do something.
That'd be a fairly major ISV appearance.
Yes.
On the Linux desktop.
And it would be, I think it would be a good thing. Depending on which application you want, I think Photoshop would be a lot better than Director. In many ways, but
that would
for
be
relevant, as in for more people wanting to use that application on Linux, because fucking no one uses Director. But Flash
or
Photoshop.
Games do a lot,
eh?
People who make kids' games do a lot.
Yeah. So, but Director's a bigger challenge in some ways because all the video shit and
loads of my daughter's games are actually Director applications under the covers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So,
just pass me that mirror, will you?
I'm going to pass you that mirror. Here we
Hold it above my head.
Careful, you don't want to redirect it back into itself.
I might blind you with it in a minute.
Oh, I just saw something then.
My God. You never guess what.
What is it, Aid?
Next year, the multimedia thing solved. There will be... You will just be able to press a button and all the codecs you ever need are there.
Welcome!
No, it's going to get solved next year. No more of this. Do this, run this little script, tweak this, grab this from here, go and get that from over there, compile this from... Nope, it's all just going to be a one.
Now, distro, can we
clarify?
If you're in FreeSpy, then it's already sorted.
Yeah, can we clarify this? Yeah. Because, for example, in Ubuntu, there's going to be the easy codec installation thing. Is already planned
for
Feisty. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't know about that.
we're not talking about solving it necessarily in a free software way here. We're just talking
about... Oh, no, we don't care about that kind of thing.
Right, okay. that's the point. You'll be able to get a little... So,
ordinary people will be able to come to Linux and... run Linux and would go to a website and the media will just play.
Will they be able to do it in any Linux distribution or one of a few specific ones?
I believe it'll just be one of a few to start
with. So a couple of distributions will solve this problem in a proprietary way, but they'll solve it.
They'll solve it.
But you don't necessarily mean that it'll be solved for Linux generally?
No.
Right, okay.
Any, would you like to hazard a guess as to which distros will solve it?
Well, if you say Ubuntu are already working on it, that'd be interesting. Because they've already done some stuff with the commercial repositories, which I only found the other day, by the way.
Yeah.
So
So do you think Fedora might solve this problem?
I would hope so,
okay.
To be honest.
And Linspire do.
Right.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Does anyone use Linspire?
Who?
As in, I'm asking the listeners, does anybody use Linspire?
Isn't there the website?
Deadspire.
The L Yeah website, or whatever it's called. L Yeah! Where you
or L Users. Fucking losers.
No, there is a website where there's like a map of the Earth with all the different L Users, Linux users, Linspire users.
Losers, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. They set that up about a year and a half ago and probably got
not
no
long
more
after
users.
Oof.
Because it needs to happen, and I think it will happen next year.
Okay, so Aid believes that the multimedia problem is solved on a couple of Linux distributions. So any media format, be it Windows Media or QuickTime, whatever, will just play fine in a web browser, in your media player.
It'll be solved next year. So this time next year, we'll all be sitting there patting me on the back.
So you will have to right-click, copy link location, then open video LAN client.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
You three will have it solved.
Mr. Langridge.
Mr. Stone Age boy over here, won't
you? I have one.
I think I've got a minute. I'll lean forward.
I have a slightly sad prediction.
Oh,
sad for me anyway.
What, you're going to die of cancer?
You will die of
cancer. That was AIDS prediction when we had some tea earlier on that Ack was going to die of cancer.
Well,
which
you thought
was a little bit harsh, to be honest.
Thank you. The cancer sticks, so logical conclusion, really.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. My prediction is I think the auto package people will give up.
Ooh.
I think they'll say,
don't blame
it's
them.
Not worth it anymore and shut up shop. I wish they wouldn't do. Because I really think that they're trying to solve a problem that needs solving.
It's interesting how everyone seems to think they're fucking wrong. Have you noticed that? There seems to be a broad body of opinion that thinks that what they're doing is crack.
It's only developers, though, isn't it, that think
the killer is
like
that people think, no, we don't want auto package, we want the thing that we do.
to be the most important.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're right, but yeah. I'm just saying that it's... You'd have thought something like the package would have had a lot of support behind it. There's so much resistance to it.
I mean, I don't understand why there's so much resistance to it. And people say, oh, well, they are because it's not possible to do what they're doing or whatever. But and I really think that there is a problem with doing installations on Linux, and I'd love to see that problem solved.
I really hope they don't give
up. And I really hope they don't give up, but I think they're just going to go, look, it's just not worth the effort, give up. People.
I think it'd be a terrible shame if they did, because what they're doing is something that needs solving. But I wouldn't blame them if they did give up.
Exactly.
Because it's
nobody's interested in solving the problem other than them. No one's interested in cooperating with them.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them A, keep going, and B, make a success of it. But it wouldn't surprise me if they just folded the tents and went, look, forget it. No one's listening to us, and we are sick of shouting at this brick wall.
You see,
so Mike Hearn, Hong Lee, we think you're doing a good job, but.
I don't know, because I don't think they're going to shut up shop. I think that they will maybe get a lot less motivated if they don't make any achievements in next year.
Just to clarify slightly, I mean, I suspect what might happen is they barely do anything.
Are you hedging? That's not what you said.
No, you said shut up shop. I think they'll shut up shop. I don't know is if they barely do anything in between now and next year, and they don't do any releases or anything, Do they have to make a conscious effort to say we don't do auto package and close down the website? Or if they just haven't done anything, does that qualify?
The definition of shutting up shop, and I believe that the pedant brigade fucking argued against my prediction in the previous segment.
Absolutely. I mean, the reason
shut up shop is that they decide to stop the project.
So you go to autopackage.org and it says there is no auto package anymore. Give it up.
Is that what you believe?
It's not actually. I think they're just not going to do anything and let it tail away. But I don't want. But I don't want to make a hammy bullshit prediction. So I'm going to say they're going to shut up shop.
Right. Okay.
The only thing I was going to say was this opposition that people seem to have towards auto package. It strikes me that. The opposition to it isn't just we don't think it's possible, or we think this is a shit idea, or we want you to use RPM or dpackage. I get the impression that a lot of people who are opposed to autopackage have got very, very strong technical reasons why they don't believe that it's possible. And that's the basis behind their viewpoint. Now, I don't know what those technical reasons are, and I've not looked into it. But I just get this impression that the reason why people are against it is very, very strong
technical
reasons.
When you say
it's
not possible, what about the packages that are already created? Obviously, it was possible.
All three of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the issue is, I don't want to...
Zara.
I don't want to go too far into auto-package and so on. But the problem is, they say, you've got auto-package, but we need to make all these changes to the underneath of the way Linux works. But that's not so auto-package will work, it's so... being able to build a distribution-free package will work. And so all that stuff kind of gets bundled into auto-package. It's not what you need to make the current auto-package project work, but if you're going to solve the problem of distribution on Linux properly, you need to make all these changes as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it all kind of gets bundled. And there's a lot of technical resistance to that, because they're saying chuck away a lot of the stuff that's underneath Linux and do it properly.
Well, look at Upstart. That's essentially done that, hasn't it?
Upstart has done it, yeah. Right. I bet the auto-package people look at that and go, why the bloody hell has that managed to do it? And the answer is because Remnant could say, we're going to do this, and then he can make it happen in a distribution.
I was going to say, he's made it happen in a distribution.
If, I don't know, Mike Hearn, say, was a high-up guy at Canonical and said, I think we should make Canonical natively support auto packages, that'd be the leap they needed.
Yeah, they needed a distro to buy
Red Hat and Fedora.
Absolutely. It could go and work for... I don't know how it works for Fedora. Because you'd have to convince... Would you have to convince the Red Hat people?
No, Fedora's completely
can Fedora do something completely fundamentally different to Red Hat Enterprise?
Ooh, I don't know.
Exactly.
Could they or would they?
Exactly. I mean, that's the point. I don't really understand exactly where the dynamic of that relationship is. But I'd love to see a distro first
level,
support.
The only thing
I'd say, which supports your viewpoint...
Jono wags his finger
is that it's... But I think packaging is becoming less of an issue that people give a shit about because, I think the thing is that the way it works is that each distro packages software for their distro.
You've got to look at it from a new user point of view.
No, but the point I'm making is that it's a suboptimal approach, but that's just the way it's worked out. But
ordinary Windows users, people in the Windows world, they want something, they go to the website, they download it, and they click on
but
it.
But ISVs aren't good. Not all ISVs are good.
And that's not the way you
just... At a distro
sure, but I think I agree that it's not the perfect way. An auto package is you know, if that's a good technical direction, that's what we should have. Mm. But I think that there's certain things in the Linux world that, although they don't make perfect sense, that's just the way they are. And they're ultimately not solvable. In the same way that we can't say, let's decide on one fucking desktop. Realistically, we should say, well, let's have one desktop, and that should be the desktop we all work on. We work together, we make a good desktop, but it just doesn't work that way. And
no,
I get the impression
we have choice,
that,
freedom, that's
yeah,
what we want.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that sometimes it makes sense to make decisions about certain things.
And sometimes it doesn't.
And that doesn't happen just because the way that the Linux community, the way that the ethos works, doesn't support that way of doing things. And I suspect packaging is the same way, is that it's ultimately never going to be solvable, and people are just going to keep doing it at a distro level.
It's ultimately not going to be solvable without making some relatively radical changes.
Somebody needs to kick some ass.
Exactly,
the problem is you need someone to step up and say, we're going to make those radical changes.
But no one's going to do that because they're all bought into their own
Matthew
packaging.
P. Revelle, yeah. What's your second
next
prediction?
I see. I like that mountains.
Poo. You like poo?
It's your bloody head. You like poo. Okay.
My prediction is somewhat hand-wavy.
Ah.
But here it is. I think we're going to see more small-time proprietary software vendors using the term open source as a marketing term and as a way to get a foothold in the market and perhaps offloading either crippled or shitty old versions of their software as open source in an attempt to get coverage in the open source press and get the community to like them just as a way of getting more market share.
Hang on, clarification. Are we talking about people putting out something calling it open source that violates the open source definition? Or are you saying that people are going to put out things which are genuinely open source but they're not necessarily
in the spirit of open
they're releasing a thing which is three versions old or a thing which only does half the amount of the commercial product?
Both.
Right, so there's going to be some people who say this is open source when it isn't.
I think it's going to be a lot more muddying of the term open source and it'll
be done.
You can't
muddy the term open source, can you?
Can do. Absolutely. You can't muddy what the open source definition says.
So it'll be done for basically purely cynical
marketing reasons.
Foothold in the market.
So you're basically saying that some of the marketing departments in some of these in some of the, like large proprietary firms or just proprietary
or small,
firms,
just small or small, small proprietary firms who don't have any other way to they're looking at ways to get a foothold in an industry that is dominated by big players, and
they're going
to
jump on the
this open source thing and think, all right, okay, but we can't do that because that'll mean that we give away too much. So there's one project, I can't remember what it is. If you don't put a link to their website at the bottom of every single installation of it that you do, I think it's Zimbra. If you don't put a link to Zimbra at the bottom of every Zimbra page on the Zimbra server, then you're violating their license.
That's Sugar.
That's not Sugar. Sugar. I was going to say, that's not
Sugar
at all.
That's Sugar CRM.
All right, well, it's one of them.
But do you think? I mean, this is what the open source initiative was set up to try and stop people doing. Precisely. Do you think anyone's going to do anything about it?
No, of course not.
The community will complain a bit, but
and who'll listen?
Will a central body, the open source initiative or whoever, start calling people out and saying you're calling that open source, but it violates the open source definition?
The open source, whatever they're called, clearly aren't going to do that because.
Is anyone else? Do you think?
No, what I think will happen is that these companies will fail in that technique because for it to work, the thing does actually have to be truly open source or, you know, calling something open source and it not meaning anything is worthless because it won't give you anything. So people will see it and their ruse will be rumbled.
You see, I don't think that's a prediction because that's been happening. That's happening already.
No, I think it'll happen much more.
And companies, like, for example, in the last 2-3 years at the Linux Expo in London, you've seen these little companies pop up who try and jump on the bandwagon and make a bit of money out of it. And they always disappear because they don't dip in with the spirit of open source. You know, we all have different views of what freedom means, but we've all got the same approximate definition of what being part of the open source community means. Mm. And a lot of these companies who don't do that, they just vanish because they haven't got what it fucking takes. The only company that's stuck around in my mind that hasn't vanished is Zandros.
Bitrock, or have they gone away again now?
I think they, I don't know actually.
They're still around, I think. They're doing that.
But the thing is, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they...
Yeah, next prediction.
Okay, my prediction.
Oh.
tiring, you know. I'm getting worn out.
Have you got a headache?
Does your bald hurt?
Yes.
Your bald ache.
It looks sore. My prediction is that the... This is a bit hand-wavy, it has to be said. My prediction is that the distro... Jono waves hands. The distro world will become a bit more... some of the distros will become less relevant and will have...
And some of them will become more.
Basically, what I'm saying is, I think we're gonna. There's going to be a lot more people using
Ubuntu
fewer distros. Using fewer distros. Now, I'm not going to say what they are. There are distros who I think,
but there's only really one true one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course,
the distro market will continue to consolidate.
I think we're going to start. I think we're going to see things narrow down to maybe two, maybe three, but I suspect two. Core distros that everyone's going to be using
next year.
Next year.
By this time, at the moment, you've got four, five, maybe six core distros. Yeah. I suspect.
Well, no, they'll go away, right?
I'll hazard a guess.
Okay, so if we named them, they'd be SUSE, Ubuntu, Fedora, Gentoo,
Debian.
That's about it.
Those five. You think three of them are going to disappear next year?
No, they're not going to disappear. I never said that.
You think they're going to become largely irrelevant to the forward process?
Well, I think
three of them.
No.
Over half.
Hang on.
In 12 months.
Hang on, let me
just wait to clarify your prediction.
Yes. I think that some of these distros are going to become a lot less relevant. So the ones I'd cite, particularly are going to be Yellow Dog.
Well, yeah, Yellow Dog's kind of pointless.
Yellow Dog. Mandriva. Is going to become a lot less relevant. Like, at the moment...
Because they're all so relevant at the moment, aren't they?
Mandriva is quite well used in some countries.
A load of currently quite irrelevant distributions are going to become completely irrelevant.
I'd say that they're going to become completely irrelevant. I'd say the main one that's relatively popular now that's going to become a lot less relevant is Linspire. And that includes FreeSpire.
But none of the five we've just named...
The ones who I think will stay relevant...
Carmony giving you another shoeing,
right? The ones who I think will stay relevant... Ubuntu, Fedora, Debian, SUSE are going to stay relevant, but I think that Debian is going to reduce in relevance, which I'm unhappy about, but I suspect that's going to happen.
But that's your fault, right?
I think that's the Debian project's fault, okay. Right? And I think that SUSE is going to become a lot less relevant. I think it's going to be...
Who?
I think it's going to...
Is that Novell, I think it's going it? To... Needs to be called Novell?
Yes. Oh, I think it's going to largely be Fedora, Novel. Ubuntu... And who's the other one?
Gentoo was the other one I mentioned.
Oh, Gentoo.
Popular within the community, not popular... Yeah.
What about Alteo?
What? I think that... SUSE will become less relevant. So I think the main two ones that are going to become less relevant are going to be Linspire and SUSE. And I think the reason for Linspire is because...
And you think Debian's going to
I think the reason for that is that Linspire are going to run out of money. And I think Novell are going to change focus with their business. I don't think they're going to focus as much on upstream development, and they're going to focus more on business services and less on Linux development.
So they're going to move more towards selling stuff to run on other people's Linuxes rather than...
Not so much that. I just think they're going to... Like, when Novell started on the Linux thing, they didn't feel like Novell. And now it seems like they're edging towards being traditional Novell. Like this big corporate services, corporate software company. And I think they're heading back around to that kind of thing. Like the deal with Microsoft and the fact that they've cancelled some projects and they're very much focused on the enterprise side of things. They're going head to head with Red Hat and Oracle. So I think SUSE will become less relevant. OpenSUSE will become less relevant as a major distro that everybody's using. I think Ubuntu will continue to grow. Fedora will continue to grow. Debian is the exception in the fact that it's not money related, but I think the Debian project need to sort themselves out. I think that there are problems that have been caused there, and they're not solving these problems, and a number of core developers are leaving. They're having, you know, I think they're having some structural problems there and some community problems there that they need to solve.
They're dying under the... yes, basically. That's exactly what they need. They're dying under the weight of their own committees.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to be the other thing. But like I say, Linspire is going to be, they're just going to lose money and not enough people are using them. I don't think they're going to get as many ISV contracts. I don't think they're going to get as many OEM contracts, and they're going to just lose money. And,
I'd be surprised if Linspire ran out of money, because I think I think Michael Robertson would be loath to see Linspire die, because it's, I think it's a pet project for him.
And I don't think it is anymore.
Lots of companies.
I don't know how much it costs to run. I mean, they've got an incoming revenue stream, which is more than basically everyone else.
They weren't quite breaking even last time we spoke to them. Yeah, they were going to break even.
And even if they don't, he has to fund them out of his own pocket for a bit. It's not as if he's short of a bob or two.
And they don't spend that much money. I mean, they don't have their own offices. They don't. No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're going to go bankrupt. I'm not going to say they're going to completely run out of money. But right. I think that the money's going to dry up a lot next year for them, and they're going to have to really shift their focus, and that is going to impact their usage.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're going for users that nobody else is at the moment.
I think they're not users
that I particularly want to go for. Yeah. But
I think it would be a shame because I think Linspire guys are doing a good job. I just have that hope. That
coming on to Susie just quickly.
Yeah, go on.
I can't see. Let me just wipe that off.
It's my girlfriend you're talking about. Carry on.
I can't see them. I know that they've kind of closed down Hoola, but what else have they shut down at Novell?
The iFolder project's essentially shut down.
But that was never alive anyway. They didn't exactly do much with it, did they?
Oh, it was. They were developing it.
They got Seb Payne quite a lot excited and nothing else.
Got me excited about it.
Yeah, and me, to be honest.
I think it'd be wicked.
They were using it.
Work group level iFolders solves file distribution problems completely inside the network.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's fantastic.
I think what's going to happen...
I agree.
I think what's going to happen with Novell is that they're going to... Like, they're changing management. They've got Ron RoboSapien at the top, right?
They have.
Ron RoboSapien's no doubt... I don't know the guy, but he's no doubt sitting there saying, okay, we're funding a development of Banshee, which is a fucking media player. We're funding this 3D graphics shit. We've already had the big splash with the XGL stuff. That's brought people over to looking at SUSE. And I suspect they're going to say, well, what's the point in us continuing to fund this? Mm. We're an enterprise software company. Mm. We should be funding things like iFolder. We should be funding Riser FS development or whatever, even though they're not now. But, you know, that's the kind of thing. And I think they're going to move away from the desktop, and that's going to impact user
more traditional Novell stuff like eDirectory.
Yeah. I think that's where
their identity
but
manager
Open
and that
does seem
sort
to
of
have
thing.
Its kind of zealous user base, a group of people who are really strongly behind it. I mean,
the question is, if Novell...
Shuttleworth wants them to work for him, doesn't he?
If Novell starts to withdraw a lot of the support they put into OpenSUSE, would the OpenSUSE community be able to keep the project alive on their own?
Or would they flock away? That's
the
big question.
I assume what you're saying, Jono, is that Novell will start to withdraw that support away from OpenSUSE and the SUSE Linux distribution. And do you think then that a lot of developers will up sticks and go somewhere else? Or do you think they will be able to maintain it as a community level distro? Like Fedora to some extent, but Fedora get a lot of Red Hat support.
They do.
Or
but
like,
if Red Hat went
like
away,
Debian.
They would keep going.
Yeah. I suspect it's the same with any of the distributors.
But I think they'd be picking up a lot of stuff that was being funded by other companies. At the moment, a lot of stuff that goes into Fedora is funded by Red Hat. A lot of core, but not very glamorous work, like X server work, is being funded by Red Hat. If Red Hat stopped doing that funding, I think the Fedora people would try and keep it going, but presumably someone else would have to pick up that slack and then it would get incorporated into Fedora.
Yeah.
They'd become, I think, not necessarily less relevant, but they'd become less of a driving force.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't have people around to do that.
The way I see it is that with particularly Fedora and OpenSUSE are very similar in the way they are made up here. The fact that they were spun off from versions of those distros that were commercially supported. Hello.
I think
let's have a fucking private conversation.
Sorry, carry on.
Right, OpenSUSE and Fedora were spun off from their own, like from their own distros that were commercially supported, and then they created these open versions. Okay, but they're still being funded by the companies to a lesser extent. I think if you take away that funding, then that's going to have a negative impact on that community because that community was not founded out of community. Where it's a little different with Ubuntu is that. Because it was based on Debian, and a lot of the people who came to Ubuntu were Debian people who were happy with the direction that Ubuntu was taking it because of some of the deficiencies in Debian. There's more of a community thing there.
Yeah, but
it's the same with Gentoo, you know, because Gentoo, they don't have commercial support, but if someone did try and come in and commercialize it a little bit.
It would go the other way. I mean, to boil it down to something which is inaccurate because it's a massive generalization, OpenSUSE and Fedora are community forks of a proprietary distribution, and Ubuntu is a proprietary fork of a community distribution.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, obviously that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's such a stupid generalization.
I know what you mean, though.
But it went from community to being a money thing, and the other ones have gone from a money thing to being community.
But this is the point I've made in the past, is that it's
harder. Yeah, no, you're essentially right.
It's harder to build community than it is to build brand. And that's essentially what they're doing, is that the Red Hat people were different in some ways, but with the Novell guys, you got the impression that they were building OpenSUSE so they could build this community, so they can get some kind of inroads into the community. And it's harder to do that for a company like Novell, who are this traditional kind of behemoth company.
You're accusing OpenSUSE of being a cynical exploitation of the Linux community.
I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying...
Sounded like you were saying that.
And who do you work for again?
No, I'm not saying...
Perfect, you just go and work for Ubuntu.
Listen, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that...
Sounded like you were saying that.
Well, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you take a company like Novell, who are this big, traditional, corporate company, if they create an open version of a distro, it's harder, I'd say, for them to develop community trust, because they're this big behemoth company, than it is to take an existing community and build a brand. Now, Red Hat's different, because Red Hat already had a lot of community trust because they came forward as a Linux company. So therefore, building Fedora was easy, because everyone said, well, it's Red Hat, we trust Red Hat.
It's for the people, by the people.
Exactly. But Novell is different. That's why I'm not saying that it's a community.
Freedom's too.
But that's why I'm saying it's different for Novell.
You see, the thing I think is interesting.
It's not called Red Hat for nothing.
Don't go too far into this, don't go too far into this debate, but I think that, a money company, a proprietary commercial company, trying to go open is an extremely difficult thing, and I think Novell have had a lot of difficulty with that, what you're saying. But I think trying to take a community open thing and monetize it, which Canonical are trying to do, they're finding just as difficult. It's, you know, I mean,
I wouldn't say so.
Let's
clarify this. Are you talking about in terms of actually making money, or in terms of
adoption? The brand continues.
Actually making money. I think people who start off at the community level and start off open, like Ubuntu did, are finding it very difficult to monetize that. And I think equally, people who started off with a money-making commercial proprietary distribution and then opened it up, I find it difficult to get into the community. Now, I think they're roughly equally difficult challenges, and I think everyone who's trying it isn't making much success at it.
I'd say the difference, though...
Maybe Red Hat have. But I don't think Red Hat have. I think they've got a community distribution which isn't trying to become commercial, and I think they've got a commercial distribution which isn't trying to become community.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I'd say just as a final point... I'd say just the final point.
Jono rambles on and on and on and on.
Maybe we should avoid hyperbole.
I'd say the difference here is that
you've forgotten, haven't
Novell. Oh, right. Novell are not only trying to build a community, but they're trying to build a user base. And the difference with the way it's worked with Canonical and with Fedora to an extent is that it's been much easier for them to build a community base because they've had that trust. Well, and then they monetize that and building a business around it. Now, I agree. Canonical aren't making a lot of money. I don't know about Fedora. But they're certainly not breaking even yet, right? But I think building that community and having trust in that community is a really difficult thing to do for a large company like Novell. And it doesn't surprise me that they've struggled.
I think a small point to make as well is that Fedora and Ubuntu solved community needs, whereas, OpenSUSE, took an existing distro and tried to turn it into a community, but there wasn't really a need for it.
They were like creating something just because, rather than
It seems that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Any other predictions?
I've got one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Which? Oh, I thought Aid was going to do it.
I just need to get the mirror in position.
Oh yes.
Wonder what you were waiting for.
I don't remember this being this noisy last year. I don't remember it being this noisy last year. I think the head has gained power in its predictional force.
This better be a fucking good prediction.
It is. I see, as it cleared there, I see a year of backlash against distros. I know we've talked a lot about distros, but this year, or 2007, is going to be a backlash. It's going to be the Novell backlash against them.
Yep.
I think they're going to feel that very, very firmly. And something I'd also, I believe, is going to happen is the honeymoon period for Ubuntu is over.
Yeah.
We're beginning to see the dark side now. mean this. We're beginning to see
a lot of
very negative things coming forward from there.
Which happens with every district.
No, it is. I'm saying this is the period now. It's over now.
Couple of brief points. First of all...
Just butt in then.
No, I am just wanting to have a thing that you said. You started saying something I'd like to see and then stopped saying it. Bald man.
No.
Yes, you did. You went something I think will happen.
No, but...
the Ubuntu
there's some very... dark stuff, I think, coming forward.
I agree with you completely.
Well, you work for them, so you're going to say that.
No, but it's not dark. I mean, just because there might be packaging up proprietary drivers with it, that's not dark. It's just,
I'm not referring to that.
That's not confirmed.
What do you think we're going to do? Do you think we're going to... do you think they're going to...
You're allowed to say we.
They pay your wage.
Admittedly, there is Ubuntu Satanic Edition, which I think is fantastic.
It's just themes, isn't it, basically?
Don't forget Ubuntu.
I think there's going to be...
Ubuntu, yeah. Linux for Jewish beings. Have you seen it?
Oh, cool.
I think the clarification here is that just because the honeymoon period is over doesn't necessarily mean it's a dark world. I think every distro has a as a honeymoon period.
I understand. I understand your defensiveness, Mr. Bacon.
No, it's not that. But it's happened with every distro. Like when Red Hat.
I was saying in general. So we're going to see Novell backlash against that. I believe we're going to see Oracle's version of Linux just go away.
Yeah.
Oracle Unbreakable Linux. And this brilliant idea of a thing. I know I'm interrupting here. We should get Oracle Unbreakable Linux and install it on an old computer. And then we should throw the old computer off the top of a multi-story car park and see if it really is unbreakable. And YouTube.
It's a CentOS, though.
That's a shit idea.
I think I might do it by myself. It'd be excellent.
Yeah, that's really good. It's nearly as good as that joke we're about
to
do.
So we're going to see a lot of people leaving Novell, and I think we're going to see people leaving and moving away from Ubuntu.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
That's my prediction.
One other thing that the old Gingerling reminded me of, which is really a shit prediction and anyone can make it, I reckon AMD are going to open source the ATR drivers.
Beard!
Well, I mean,
there's already work on open sourcing 3D drivers for ATI, though, isn't there?
No, there's work on implementing our own open source drivers.
Yeah.
But you're talking about taking FGLRX, the proprietary ATI driver, and them opening it.
So, yes, you are, Matt. Yes.
I'd like to predict that they're not going to do that. Or Novell.
I'd absolutely NVIDIA, you mean?
I don't think
I don't think NVIDIA will, but the reason I say ATI is that AMD wants some Linux love.
Yeah, but...
Don't we all?
They're not going to do that because of all the IP shit.
They keep fucking saying that, but...
I just think it's completely unlikely. I think it would be fucking great if they did. I mean, it'd be...
I know we're not doing
it. It'd be fucking amazing if they did.
It'd be great if I was given £1 million, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. The £1 million or the...
Right. So, do we have any other predictions, gentlemen?
I predict there will be four rather than the three existing current desktops.
Baird.
I believe there will then be four.
Baird, shut up. You're not allowed to talk anymore.
I've got a nice prediction. I think Lug Radio will continue to grow and more people will listen to the show. And
I think we'll continue to make
grow outwards. Our listener statistics will expand.
We will continue to say we have 15,000 listeners.
Even though we don't really know.
Larger gents will
get
larger.
We'll also... Although the data transfer stats do kind of back that up, though.
See, I don't just make the damn numbers up.
We do. I think we'll
I know
also.
You do. I don't.
My final prediction is that we'll have Lug Radio Live 2007.
Yes,
and it will be in a different venue to either of the other two.
Wow, yes.
Will it be in a different country?
What a prediction!
Yes. It might be in a venue down the road. Depending if Matt gets on the board of directors.
Are we going to predict
what's the space?
Do we predict an American version of Lug Radio?
Well, Kainan, the shovel killer.
The barbarian.
I believe we have a suggested venue. It's quite
prestigious. We've been offered the Googleplex, so if anyone wants to help us organise
the barbarian. Call me a cynic, but I don't think Lug Radio Live 2007 in the USA is going to happen.
No, probably not.
Again, I mean, we've asked about this before quite a bit, but if people want to get together and say, this is how we would organise a Lug Radio Live US...
Yeah, because bear in mind, we don't want to do any work.
Explain to us how you're going to let people know about it, how you're going to make sure people get there, where they're going to stay when they do get there, how you're going to get hold of speakers.
Basically, we're
offering
you
the... Where you're going to put the stages, how big the room's going to be, how big the exhibition area's going to be, who's going to exhibit,
where
the power sockets
head.
Are. Yeah. You know.
How big our trailers are going to be. How many M&Ms are going to be involved.
We're offering you the Lug Radio Live
M&Ms only.
Franchise for USA.
You've had enough brown M&Ms. Okay, well, it's the end of the year.
Yes.
So here's the email.
Hey.
See what I did there? End of the year. rather than the end of the show.
Very good.
Right.
Change of the theme. My
you're
God.
So, you're so clever.
You're such a professional.
Indeed. I broke a few ribs.
Beard.
I've been asked to read a joke out. Now, to be honest, it's not a particularly funny joke, but heck, I'm going to tell it anyway.
Yeah. Please don't. Please, this is terrible.
It's a shite joke.
Well, we're reading this out as a warning to other listeners.
Well, don't do things like this.
I'm hoping he wrote it thinking he was funny, but anyway, I'll read it.
Who is terrible? Who is the guy?
It's a bloke called Dave, and he says, "Hey, love the show. Here's a little Ubuntu joke for you."
Prepare.
Man walks into a bar thinking it's the Ubuntu release party and yelling, "Ubuntu, Ubuntu, Ubuntu." All the people in the bar yelled and cheered. Little did he know that the release party was next door and he was actually in a gay bar. He ended up getting very drunk and getting some action. He knows what Ubuntu is each time he sits down now. Gives a whole new meaning to the brand theme.
Oh dear.
Now, right, isn't that hilarious?
This is wrong on
and
so many levels.
Somewhat homophobic as well.
So this is wrong on...
It's terrible,
isn't
it?
Can we list the levels where this is... Well, first of all...
Homophobia.
Which we
would never do, of course.
There is that.
Right?
It's a shy joke.
It's very funny, isn't it?
The guy obviously thought, Ubuntu sounds like you bum too. Oh, let me try and think of some crap storyline around those words.
It's almost as though he's like an 8-year-old and he's just told that on the playground or something.
Yeah, you bum too.
Then he showed his pants to the girls.
Yes.
Yeah. So we say your mum.
Okay, yeah. So not particularly inspiring to start, but...
Not impressed with that.
We say, "E tu mama también."
We do encourage people to send jokes in, though.
Yeah, keep sending them in.
We do, but not jokes like that.
But they're good. I believe you're... Look at the size of that font.
It's your script.
I've got an email from Frank, who we talked about a little while ago, who was a Jocosha contributor.
Was?
Yes.
Did loads of people call him and tell him about drug dealers?
We stole his lunch money.
Don't be mean to Frank. And he's got a few points to bring up. First of all, he complained to us for giving Jono a booting.
He deserved it.
Like Mark Shuttleworth, we all open our mouths without thinking once in a while or get our threads crossed big time, including me. And I personally prefer to be called a prat to my face than behind my back.
That's what I was doing.
At least I get the chance to answer the assertion. Right or wrong, Mark said what he did thinking he was in the right. So I assume he's saying that we shouldn't have given Mark Shuttleworth a kick.
Certainly Hussein thought he was in the right.
I'll be honest with you, I wasn't giving Jono a kicking on behalf of Shuttleworth, I was giving Jono a kicking because it's fun to give Jono a kicking.
Although, it has to be said that I did get an apology from Mr. Langridge. Following that show.
You did, indeed.
Because the kicking was... Yeah.
We did dial it up a little bit too much, to be quite honest with you.
Yes.
I'm disappointed.
And I got an apology in the show notes.
I never get an apology. You didn't give me a shoeing.
Well, that's because you're always fucking wrong.
United in that opinion, then.
We, of course, just...
No, forget it. Just read the rest of the email.
I apologised for... The size of the shoeing, not for the shoeing.
Yes.
You were still wrong.
Right, let's move on.
Congratulations to the Jocosha team on release 0.2.
Thank you.
And he will try installing the release over Christmas and report back his thoughts, so thank you very much. The point he was flagging was that he'd followed up a mail and asked for something, and we hadn't then said, yes, we agree with you, or whatever. Yeah. But what he was asking for was the Ubuntu download script, basically. He said he'd rather have Jocosha working well on Ubuntu than not working well on anything.
Yeah.
And we did the download script.
And we're learning from our mistakes.
And he congratulations on 0.2. So
Frank, come back to
the
community and help us.
Yes.
We encourage you all.
Matthew P.
Hi.
Hello.
I've got one from Kyle. And with a name like Kyle, you can imagine he's Australian.
Guys, I'm going home.
He says, recently discovered the show. Love it, blah, blah. Anyway, I just wanted to congratulate Nat Friedman on saying nothing while talking a whole bunch about whether or not Microsoft will include ODT support in Office 7.
Harsh.
And yes, we have pegs in Canada, although we generally call them clothespins. However, you're probably going to get a call from the municipality or a visit from the police if you've got some knickers on the line and an asshole for a neighbour.
It's illegal to have knickers on a
line in Canada.
Oh, no, he is Canadian. Kyle is Canadian.
He's
right.
Canadian.
Well, yeah.
The next bloke's...
America's biggest state?
Australian.
Feel the hate mail coming already. I had a mail from... Well, I didn't have a mail. We had a mail. From Jason. And the subject is Jocosha won't... RE. Jocosha won't work Fedora like it will on...
That's because they don't care. I think you'll find.
Welcome to the Jocosha show. Welcome to the Jocosha show. Anyway, he says, I realise that I'm probably in for a bollocking of my life, but at least I can take comfort in the fact that it will be done by experienced professionals.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, as we don't have any of those, we'll do it.
I've been running Fedora since before it was Fedora.
Good boy.
Since it was, I don't know.
Top marks for that.
Debian. And I've been using...
It was called Fed-O.
And I've been using apt-get under Fedora for at least the last year. Well, I can well understand the problems tracking down all the RPM all the RPM dependencies manually for something like Jacosia. I can't understand why you couldn't just set up your script or write another to, one, make sure that apt-get was available, to, two, add it in if it was already there, and to, three, run your current script to bring down Jacosia using apt-get.
I remember this email.
If I'm missing something dead obvious, I apologise sincerely for wasting your collective time.
No need to apologise.
And for our Brazilian friend... Who's our Brazilian friend?
Someone wrote in to complain that no one knew about the Brazilian government. But Americans expect everyone to know about the American government.
For our Brazilian friend, he says, I, for one, would not think it fair to expect someone not from the States to have knowledge that the majority of our recent American high school graduates probably lack. That's from Jason D.L. Bowles from Muscatine, Iowa, in the United States of America.
The thing I ought to point out there... the reason we haven't done that is I suspect people who are quite happy with Yum and use it all the time would be quite hacked off if they'd said, I don't want to use apt, and they went, no, you will fucking use apt, like it or not.
But then he
installed it for you.
As I understand it, you can't just apt-get install Jacosia in Ubuntu anyway.
Unless
you want version 0.1.
You can get 0.1 in Edgy, you can get 0.2 in
Feisty. So you have to run a script anyway to get an up-to-date version.
If you want to run it on Edgy, yes.
If you want to run it anywhere.
No, if you want to run 0.2 in Feisty,
anywhere you want to run it, you have to run a script, right?
In Feisty, which hasn't been released yet.
Let's not talk about Feisty, because it hasn't been released yet.
If you want to run it on Edgy, yes, you have to run the script. If you want to run it in Feisty...
As opposed to running it in this thing that doesn't exist yet.
Feisty isn't released, so we don't care about it.
Right.
Right? The important point is, yes, Aid, I agree with you. We could make it apt-get installable by setting up our own apt repository. But we haven't done that because it's fucking hard and a pain.
And we want to write Jacosia, not maintain.
And we'd have to tell people to add the repositories. I mean, you have to give them some instructions.
Right.
And if we can do that, we might as well say, here are the instructions to actually install the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then not set up an app repository. Yep. So that's why I don't want to say, Fedora people, you will use apt.
So where does your script drag it from now?
The Jacosia website.
Which is an SVN repository or something?
No. Right. It doesn't get an SVN version. It gets a tarball and unpacks it.
Right. So why can't you do the same for Fedora? I mean, I'm with this guy. I can't see the...
The reason I can't is because I don't know how to get the dependencies for it.
We've got
to
go through this
again. What the script does is it basically says apt-get install this list of dependencies. And they're all
packaged... Can't you just yum install Python and surely it's all there?
No, because there's loads of other dependencies as well.
Right.
Cairo, the Python Cairo bindings.
Well, Cairo's already in Fedora, has been for years.
The Python GStream bindings. I've got no way of knowing myself, because I'm not a Fedora user, what I need to type into a yum install line to install everything that Jacosia needs, and no one would tell me.
Thank God you've auto-packaged it.
The reason we haven't auto-packaged it is because you can't make auto-package install the dependencies as well.
I tell you what though, as long as it runs on your distribution, that's alright, isn't it?
If someone wants to tell me how to make it run on Fedora, I'll do it. Someone sent us an email last week and said, do this brief thing, and I had a look at that, but I didn't understand his instructions.
Or, alternatively, if someone wants to make a fucking Fedora script, do it.
This is open source.
Anybody can do it.
Everybody's been saying auto-package, it's really good, everyone should use it, but you're not actually using it.
I didn't say that.
The reason you can't use auto-package is because of the dependencies.
No, I'm divided on auto-package.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Next
email.
From Al Salmon in Brisbane, Australia. He says, good day, great show blokes. It's interesting, informative and funny. It's almost as good as beating you at cricket. I have a question.
Bastard. Fuck off.
Why don't most distros have dial-up modem support? Because it's not the Stone Age.
Yes,
especially
exactly
distros like
answer,
Ubuntu,
Matt.
Fedora, etc. Some people come from countries where we are technologically backwards
totally
in places.
Agree with you.
This is an Australian saying that, not me, and can only use dial-up
to get
messages.
He might be referring to his own country.
I'd be very interested to know.
I completely agree with him. My dad has just gone to broadband, and all of his mates are still dial-up.
Yeah.
It really fucking hacks me up.
Dial-up's been in there for ages.
It's not. It's really not easy to set up at all. You have to go and install the extra packages and you have to know about it. Maybe it is in Fedora.
I did it on Red Hat 7 and it was a piece of piss.
A lot of localized distros have dial-up support.
And the other thing about it is that I'll be interested to see if it's in Fedora Core 6, say.
It bloody will, because it was in Red Hat 7.
No, but that, no, no, no. It's
conceivably capable of it being in there, but a lot of people have taken it back out again. It used to be in Debian a lot, but now you've got to know which packages to install to get it.
Right.
Because they've gone, we can only fit so much on a CD, what should we chop out? And one of the things they've chopped out is, I don't know, KPPP or GNOME PPP or whatever. It's
DVD, I think you mean.
But people who are on dial-up might not have a DVD.
How do these people get the DVD? Oh, they download it and spend 40 fucking years online doing so.
You know,
mine's still running pretty.
There are places that will ship you a DVD and shops that sell them.
How do they know about these places?
Oh, God, they're so useless, aren't they?
I sympathise with the problem as well, particularly in countries like Africa or Asia.
Oh, spontaneous laughter from Matthew.
Sorry,
something wrong?
Especially in countries like Africa and Asia.
What? There's a lot of dial-up users in those countries.
The country of Asia.
It's okay.
Well, in those regions. And they don't have,
food.
Food. Food or broadband. Fucking sucks, doesn't
it? Read the next email.
Bechta! From Alistair.
Ah, sounds dull.
Well, it is, to be honest. Joking. I'll let you decide. I was just listening to your last show, and I agree wholeheartedly on your comments about Bechta. For those who didn't hear the show or are too poor to know, Bechta is the British educational computer technology and something.
And a guy called John Pugh put an early day motion into the UK Parliament saying that Bechta ought to be poked for making it difficult for open source people to get open source software into schools.
Yeah, it's Bechta basically look at technology in schools.
And they're still on dial-up.
He says he agrees, and the comments was that Bechta are basically fucking around. They have, however, done a study and a report on the cost of open source. Here comes the weird bit. A school running 100 Windows machines, but one Linux box is classed as an open source school. They say, $330,000 on licenses for Windows plus hardware of the Linux box. In Bechta's eyes, the entire spending is an open source. That's fucking crazy. I work in a grammar school with 900 plus users at Skegness as a systems admin. Bloody long way to Wolverhampton for LRL 2006, I can tell you. Was well worth it, though.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice one.
Skegness, it's fucking bracing.
It is.
We run a few Windows boxes on the admin side and laptops here and there, but for the entire school, the curricula is taught using Linux with LTSP thin clients and has been for the past 3 or 4 years.
Awesome.
All the filtering, proxies, email, even our own homegrown Sims and Integris replacement called ScholarPack is done using Zope and Postgres on a Debian box.
Nice.
The really annoying thing about Bechta and the government is that RM, who got the contract to implement a Keystage 3 online test exams system, have changed the spec to on-screen and will only support Red Hat Enterprise Linux. They won't even give us the software to test with other Linuxes because, quote, it's not being tested and we can't provide support, unquote. Bechta and the government...
At least they're providing some Linux support.
Bechta and the government, after asking for things that are distro neutral, just seem to be giving these proprietary commercial types a free rein to extract more money from education by forcing schools to buy extra hardware and software to support them. Money that could go into funding another teacher or new classrooms or better hardware, need I go on? No, I won't. Anyway, great show, guys. Keep it up. Although I suppose those not present at the last show obviously don't have that problem.
Oh.
Yep. P.S. I'll not go into which distro I used. Well, just because it doesn't matter.
We
use open source to get the best from education, and so long as we teach and have humanity to others, that's all that counts. Don't you think? There was a tip there.
Excellent. I do see you there, Aid Birch, yes. Saying how easy you obviously should shift to Red Hat. I don't want people to say we support Red Hat. I'd also say we support Linux.
No, I agree. I mean, they should support everything, but the fact that they do support one thing, thank God.
It's amazing, though, that RM still get contracts. I mean, I remember RM machines in the 80s, were shit then.
I've got one more email.
Quick one. Yeah,
it's very short, and it's from Nextdoor.
Who? Nextdoor?
From Nextdoor,
our neighbours.
I can't help but notice.
But we've moved the larders.
I can't help but notice, but in the 2006/11/06, you mentioned a certain live distro called Dynabollock.
Dynabollock.
But from here, it sounded like you said Dynabollock.
Which we
imagine. Imagine that.
Dial-a-bollock.
Was this simply a lack of enunciation? Or do you have something against this particular distro?
Bollock. Sounds like bollock. That's the only reason.
I'll be honest with you. We met the Dial-a-bollock guys at the Linux Expo 2 or 3 years ago. And then called it Dial-a-bollock to annoy them. And it's just stuck that way.
Did I tell
it's
a
like
story?
The path thing, isn't it?
Did I tell a story about the fat bloke?
The fattest man.
There was like this. There was two guys. There was this guy who looked like Ronnie Size.
Yeah.
Is that Ronnie Size?
Yeah. Ronnie Size, the drum and bass hero. Right?
Otherwise known as Ronnie, right? Yeah.
Right? And then there was this other guy who was unnamed, who was only referred to as the fat dude from Dynabolic. This guy was like the size of a house. And he was telling us that he was in a band or something, and at one time they got this kid on stage. Right?
Story.
Laid him on the floor, and this guy pulled his massive oversized tent-like underpants down. Perched over him and fucking passed wind on his face. Nice.
Was he so proud?
I think he was.
And now he does Dynabolic, a true open source hero for the masses, in my opinion.
In reference to that question, Dynabolic is pretty cool. So
it is cool.
So,
One other thing I ought to say, because I discovered my mate Jody listens to this show. So Jody. Hello, Jody.
Male or female?
Jody. Male.
Male called Jody?
Yep.
Oh dear. Get better.
What does Jody do?
He works for Accenture.
Oh.
And I had no idea he listened to the show, so hello, Jod.
Get you, Jod.
Jod.
Yeah.
Jod Rulbank.
His middle name, Calliova.
Excellent.
Are his parents, hate him?
I'm sure he's going to thank you for sharing that.
I went to
Jody Calliova, what's his surname?
Jeffcoat.
Come on, give us the full name.
Jody Calliova Jeffcoat, King of the Fijians.
Is he really?
Also, Calliova's a Fijian name, though.
Where's he from?
Fijian name.
Fijian.
All right, okay.
From
anyway,
Fiji.
It's been an awesome year. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, it has thanks. Been, it has been 2007. Sorry we're not drunk this year.
We'll be back next year, stroke this year, depending on when.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's depending on.
It has been a good year. Thanks for sticking with us, folks.
Yep.
Keep writing in those emails.
Yes do, please.
No more jokes.
We are starting to plan Log Radio 2008 already.
2007?
Well, Log Radio Live as well, I think.
Well, we've got a bigger term plan. You know, we're planning 7 as well. That's almost finished.
So,
right?
This is the first time anyone's ever mentioned Log Radio Live 2009.
Log Radio Live 2007 is going to cost us quite a bit of money, so send in your money now. All right.
Unless Matt gets on the board of directors.
We'll get some sponsorship, don't worry
about
it.
Thank you very much for listening for the last year.
Yes.
Keep listening for the next year.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Woo!
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.